Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine the MD, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hi, you're listening to Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD, episode number 84. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first podcast, thanks for coming. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, thanks for coming back. So today, as promised last week, we are going to be talking about one of my very favorite topics, shoulding all over yourself. This is one of my favorite things to talk about because I really think that these thoughts of what we should or should not be doing really hinder our coaching, is really what it comes down to. And I'm going to use some examples of coaching with clients where this belief in something that should be really hinders us. So recognize that when we have these thoughts about should, it's fighting with reality, right? Like, my husband should take out the trash. Well, my husband didn't take out the trash. The reality is the trash wasn't taken out. I can sit there and tell myself he should have done it, but he didn't do it. And all I do is create a cycle of fighting with reality when I tell myself something should be a certain way. So that's what we're going to dig into. We're going to dig into all that. Before we get started, I want to remind you that there's a puppy with me. If you listened to last week's episode, you know we got a puppy. If you've watched me on Instagram, you've seen pictures of my new office mate. If you haven't watched me on Instagram, clearly you should, because you get to see pictures of an adorable puppy. So if you hear any whimpering, it's the dog. It's all good. He's fine and happy. He just, you know, maybe isn't getting held as much as he wants to be or something. I do want to make a plug for next week's podcast. I will be talking about New Year's resolutions. That's right. Middle of March, whatever it will be when the podcast comes out, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolution. Because recognizing that New Year's resolutions are when we all want to focus on them in January, the act of getting them done requires a lot more focus than just a January focus. And that's why we're going to be talking about them next week. So tune into that. If you're not subscribed to the podcast already, hit subscribe so you get all the podcasts as they come out. All right. So let's dig in to shoulding all over yourself. Again, I really, really love this topic. So many times people will come with these beliefs about what they should feel or what they should think. We do this all the time. Somebody will say, I know I shouldn't think that I look bad in that dress, but I do. Of course, we're doing that from, I mean, it's clearly an inauthentic thing that we're doing, right? It's not authentically representing ourselves. More importantly, it's not really being in touch with what's going on. If your thought is you don't look good in that dress, if you try to force yourself to go out in that dress, you're going to be uncomfortable all night long because your thought really is you don't look good in the dress. It is what it is. When we take the judgment out of it, we can dig into it deeper. There's an author named Byron Katie, and she has a saying about what should be and how it's arguing with reality. And what she says is you can say the shoulds, you can argue with reality all you want, as long as you're okay with being wrong 100% of the time. And I really, really love that because it's really what it is. You're just arguing. When you're saying something should be a certain way, you're just arguing with what really is. And the reason you get stuck in it is because it's not reality. You're arguing with reality and you're wrong 100% of the time. So where I have this come up with my clients is typically when we are coaching and they will have a thought of, I'm not getting the results that I want. And I'll say, when you tell yourself that you're not getting the results that you want, how do you feel? And they will give me a feeling they think that they should have. In order to get the results I want, I should feel confident. So I'm going to say confident because I know that's how I'm supposed to feel. That's how I should be feeling. And of course, I'm not getting the results I want feels crappy. In reality, it feels shitty. It feels disappointed at best and defeated at worst. If you sit there and put the into the thought model, right? The circumstances, we have thoughts about circumstances. Those thoughts drive feelings. Those feelings drive actions. Those actions drive results, right? That's the thought model that I always teach from, right? If you have the thought, I'm not getting the results I need to get, and you tell me you're feeling confident, the reason that we don't get a good action from that is because you're really not feeling confident. And we can dig into how to get to feel confident. That's something we can talk about. But recognize when I'm telling myself I'm not getting the results that I want to get and that I think I should be getting, I really feel defeated, right? I feel incapable. I feel disappointed. It doesn't feel great. And when we feel those feelings, we typically want to avoid the work that it takes to get it done. We want to maybe go and eat a bag of girl or a box of Girl Scout cookies. We take actions from that thought that I'm not getting the results I should be getting or I want to get, and we take actions that give us results that support that thought. Recognizing that having a belief about what you should feel and not really looking at the feelings you have is kind of like wanting to clean up a very dirty room without ever turning on the lights. If you don't actually turn the lights on and look at what's in the room, it's very hard to clean the room. If you don't ever actually just acknowledge what you're really feeling, defeated, disappointed, incapable, it's really hard to fix the feeling. If we just shut the door and pretend like the room isn't dirty, it's not a clean room. We haven't fixed the problem. We're just not looking at it. If we just shut the door on what we're actually feeling and say that we're feeling confident because we know that's what we quote unquote should be feeling in order to get the results we want, that is not cleaning up the actual thought and feeling that's there. So I recognize that in some of these thought examples that I'm using, there are shoulds in there. And again, those are all thoughts and they're probably not ideal thoughts, but this is what people bring to coaching, right? These are the words that they use when they coach with me. So whenever I have a should come up, whenever there's a should story that I'm hearing in my brain, and I do this with my clients also, I ask them to change it to a could. I have myself change it to a could. Instead of SH OULD, I change it to COULD. I could be getting the job done, but I'm not. And that typically will lead to a why, like a because. Like, I could be getting the job done, but I'm not because blah. That uncovers the obstacles. I just had this with a client. I should be getting my results. And I had her switch it up. I could be getting the results. I could be doing the work that needs to be done, but I'm not. And when she answered the because, it was because she had a thought deep down in her head that maybe her weight is always supposed to be what it is. She's not really supposed to lose any weight because maybe this is the way her body's supposed to be. And uncovering that thought, then we could clean it up. Is that true? Is that even a true thought? Like, if there was no other food available to you in the world, would this be how your body is? Is it even true? So getting very curious about that, and that's how you kind of uncover what's deeper. I should be doing X, Y, and Z, but if you're not, I could be doing X, Y, and Z, but I'm not because. So that's the first strategy that I help people with. The other thing that I help people see when they are having expectations and judgment and shoulds of their beliefs and their thoughts and their feelings is the idea of authenticity and acknowledging what's going on. So when you're overriding your feelings because you don't think you should be feeling them, instead of saying that I'm feeling disappointed or defeated or incapable, you tell yourself you're feeling confident. What that creates is friction with authenticity. You're not acknowledging the real experience that you're having, and you know it's false. You know it's not real. This is, you know, self-care 101. If you are not acknowledging what your inner self and integrity is actually experiencing, but just trying to suppress it, it is the equivalent of your child coming to you saying they have a need, and you're like, yeah, not going to deal with that. Don't have time with that. You better go figure out that bleeding arm on your own because I'm not doing it. That's not how it should be. Blood should not come out of your arm. We shouldn't be having it that way. So go figure it out some other way, right? So recognizing that you have to acknowledge what is truly there before you can take the opportunity to clean it up. That's the process. And this is part of authenticity work, right? Check out the podcast in the past on authenticity. I think it's somewhere in the 50s, 53 or 56. I can't remember. But this is really where we build our ability to reach our goals. It is from building and aligning and being authentic to ourselves, aligning with our integrity and being authentic to ourselves is where we build the ability to reach our goals, right? When I can acknowledge, I really want the chocolate cake, but that's not really in alignment with the goals that I want. I'm not just suppressing and saying, oh, I don't want the chocolate cake. I shouldn't want the chocolate cake. I'm so bad for wanting the chocolate cake. There's all this judgment behind it that really just creates friction and really, I feel, creates a rebellion. I like to consider it the same way I would when I wake my children up in the morning. If I go up to my son's room and I'm like, get out of bed, you're late. You're going to be late for school. You shouldn't have stayed up so late. Why did you do that? If I start just piling it on him and heaping it on him, I will probably get the result that my son gets out of bed. It will probably have a lot of attitude behind it. And over time, if I continue that process, my son, when he gets to an age where he realizes he doesn't have to get out of bed, he won't get out of bed. He'll be like, I don't have to do that. He will totally rebel against me, right? That's just what he will do. That's what creates rebellion in kids, right? If I go into his room and I say, hey, look, it's time to get up. And he's like, but mom, I'm really tired. And I say, buddy, I get it. I totally understand. I was really tired this morning too. Some mornings I'm super tired, but I still get out of bed because I have to do things. I have things I want to accomplish. I have goals I need to get taken care of. And I know that you really want to go to school. I know you have hopes for a certain college. I know you hate being late to school, and you know those things too. That's why you have to get up. If I can align him with his goals, if I can align him with what's important to him, I get cooperation. It's no longer coercion to get him out of bed. With that cooperation, there's no need to rebel against it later on. When you have a feeling in your body, like, or a desire or a thought in your body, and you decide to just suppress it and act like it's not there, of course, over time, that is going to well up and lead to a rebellion that looks like eating an entire bag of Halloween candy, or all of the Girl Scout cookies, or the entire birthday cake that was left over from the party, right? That is what you breed by not just acknowledging the feelings, the thoughts that you're having, by judging them and saying that they're bad and I shouldn't feel this way, it should be different, I should feel confident, whatever it is, by having that judgment and not actually accepting what's there, you're suppressing your real experience. It feels very inauthentic and it makes us feel devalued. Versus coming to yourself and saying, all right, what's the deal here? Like, I'm having a lot of thoughts about candy. What's going on here? Oh, well, I want the candy. Candy tastes pretty good. Yeah, candy does taste pretty good. I get it. I totally get why candy tastes good. It's delicious, but it doesn't align with my goal right now. I can put it on the schedule for some, on my plan for some other day, but right now it doesn't align with my goals. So I'm not going to go ahead and eat that right now because I want to be reaching my goals. I get cooperation instead of having to coerce myself into ignoring what I want. And then later on having this rebellious activity that looks like eating all the things. So when we have these should statements, when we're shoulding all over ourselves, recognizing that those statements are not acknowledgement of your authentic desires and needs. Just because your desires and needs might be for something that doesn't serve your goals does not mean that you have to act from it, right? Just because my son doesn't want to get out of bed doesn't mean he's not going to, but he does it a lot more easily and with a lot more cooperation if I just acknowledge that, yeah, buddy, I get it. You don't want to get out of bed. Yes, inner me, I get it. Chocolate's delicious. Of course you want the chocolate, but that's not what we're going to do today. The action doesn't change. The result doesn't change. The spirit and the feeling with it, though, sure does. And that's what makes it easier to stick with those things. So if you find yourself shoulding all over yourself, I want you to switch it to a could. I should X, Y, and Z. I could X, Y, and Z, but I'm not. But I haven't because. But it's not working because. That's going to get you underneath what's going on. Because in the end, there is no black or white or concreted shoulds. There's nothing that should be happening. My husband should not take out the trash. He's a grown man. Maybe he doesn't want to take out the trash. Maybe it's that simple. When I don't acknowledge that he just doesn't want to take out the trash, Of course he feels devalued when I do that. He has wants and desires also, and I should really be acknowledging those, not just acting like they're not important, and he should do something regardless of how he feels. And it seems kind of strange to have this dichotomy conversation in your head of one side of your being wanting one thing and one side of your being wanting another and having to have this conversation. Don't have this conversation out loud. People will get you committed. Like, don't do it. But recognize there are two parts of you. Almost all of us have competing desires. We have the desire to eat the candy and the desire to be non-diabetic and at a healthy weight. We have competing desires. We're going to have to find a way to deal with both of them. They're not going to go away. You can't just ignore one. You can't willpower through it. This is actually why willpower doesn't work, because willpower is the act of just suppressing the desire versus acknowledging it. It just breeds this rebellion, right? And in the literature, the psychological literature about willpower, they'll tell you it's like a muscle, it wears out. And I guess it is, because it's acting against a rebellion at one point, because we haven't acknowledged what's really going on. We've judged what's going on and we've decided it's bad and it shouldn't be going on. And so in turn, we don't acknowledge it, and we end up feeling frustration and friction, and the willpower gives out, and we have a rebellion episode where we eat all the things. So if you have any questions about this, don't hesitate to send me an email, delaine@delainemd.com. This is certainly what we do in my coaching. So if this is the work that you know, you're like, yeah, I mean, this is talking to me. This is my thing. This is what I do all the time. This is what always derails me. This is always what undermines my efforts and my work. If this is you, set up a time for a mini coaching session. The mini coaching sessions are free. You just send me an email, delaine@delainemd.com. We'll get it set up and see if this kind of coaching is impactful to you. And if you think that this is what would help you reach your goals of reversing your type 2 diabetes, losing the weight, living that naturally healthy life, see if that's what you need. That's always available to you and it's free. So send me the email, delaine@delainemd.com, if you're interested in that. And I will see you next week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.